Good morning, church family. That's much better, isn't it? I have the privilege this morning of talking about gentleness. It is so good to be with you this morning. I want to read our scripture first. We'll open up with prayer, and then I'll jump right into the sermon. How's that? I'm in the book of Galatians, chapter 5. I'm going to start my reading at verse 22. And normally we will only read 22 and 23, but I want to go a little bit further this morning. So I'm going to land at chapter 6, verse 2. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 22, here's what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Pray with me, Lord. We thank you. We thank you not only for the freedom to gather as a church, as a body, and to come and learn about your word and to sing your praises and worship you openly, but also because you are good and kind. And this morning, we will focus on your gentleness. Let your gentleness radiate out from us. Help us to become more like you. Let us to be lights in a dark world. These things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I read a little bit further this morning because, as you can see by the text, it mentions gentleness twice. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And then of all of the elements of the fruit that he develops, he takes time to lean immediately into the importance of gentleness. I was so successful last time I spoke with my tinfoil hat that I want to do another illustration this morning to make my point. So I want to start with multiple choice question. I'll let you decide which one is a better example of gentleness. As many of you know, my wife is our violinist. So, good morning, honey. We're privileged to have you playing the violin with us this morning. You're welcome. That's example of gentleness number one. Or is this a better example of gentleness? Piece of wood, nail, and a hammer, right? Now, this is not a rhetorical question. I need your feedback this morning. You got to help me preach this sermon. Which is a better example of gentleness? Flowers, take a show of hands, or the hammer and the nail? Fantastic. Fantastic. You walked right into it. God, that was easy. Let me tell you a good definition of gentleness this morning. And I think it's obvious, but not obvious. In the Greek, the word gentleness, this particular use of the word gentleness, means divine meekness. I added the word divine, but it is meekness, and it talks about a meekness or a strength or humility given by God. This word means that it came from God. That word means gentle strength or gentle force. Another good definition is divine humility. You will sometimes in the text see this translated as mildness or consideration. A lot of pastors like to talk about, I think this is a good one too, strength under control. So believe it or not, a better example of gentleness was not the flowers. It was the hammer and the nail. Right? It is strength under control. It is gentle strength. What does that mean? It means that I am hitting the nail hard enough to penetrate the wood, but not so hard that I bend the nail or crack the wood. In fact, if we go back to our text this morning, once we got to chapter 6, Paul talked about gentleness as a function of church discipline. Chapter 6, verse 1, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual, restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So a healthy function of discipline in anybody, and I mean not this body, but this body, is always discipline. When I was in college, I graduated from University of Kentucky 2006, I think it was. Got a degree in mathematical economics, and as you might imagine, math professors are not the most gentle of all the professors in school. And so, back in my day, when we took a test, right, midterm, final exam, we did not have electronic posts. So the way that you knew what your grade was they would post your grade on the wall. And you go, and all your friends and your enemies and the classmates and the girl you had a crush on would all see your grade, right? The purpose of posting the grade was both so that you would know what your grade was, but also to inspire you to get a better grade, right? Gentleness. They weren't trying to break you, but they were certainly trying to motivate you. I think in any healthy body, there is always gentleness. Otherwise, things start to go astray. You don't believe me? Ask any parent. Right? Kids are wonderful until they're not. And then they need gentleness. You're not trying to break the child. You're not trying to ruin the child. You're not trying to damage the child. You are trying to discipline with as much force as it takes to drive peace into their heart. And then you stop. There are examples of gentleness in the Bible, some really good ones. And I like what Paul says here. He talks about bearing one another's burdens. And so, what burdens are we called to bear? I'll start with 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Two verses 20 and 21, I think are good examples. Listen to what Paul says here. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but power. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love in the spirit of gentleness? Here, Paul is talking to his spiritual children, and he's asking them how he needs to discipline them. Should I come with the rod, or can I come with gentleness? Right? Gentleness is not the rod. That's something else. Gentleness is the discipline that we do before we get to the rod. Paul is asking, Do I need to come hard or do I need to come surgical? Surgeons practice gentleness. You've never seen a surgeon with a hacksaw. Never once. They don't go, right, just cutting away. They get a scalpel. They have tools and lasers and cameras, and they go just deep enough. Right? It's gentle force. It's gentle strength. I think this is so important because I think this is where the church unknowingly loses a lot of men. We confuse being a gentle man with being a man filled with the Spirit who has gentleness. So if you see a guy who's a little rough, you go, oh, that guy doesn't have gentleness. Nope. He might not be a gentle man, but he can exercise gentleness. Those are different. So the purpose, Paul is not trying to make the men of Christ less godly. He's trying to make them more surgical. Next one, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. This is going to be interesting. Paul is going to start talking about spiritual warfare here. Here's what it says. I, Paul, myself entrust you by the meekness and gentleness of God. I who am humble when face to face with you, but bold towards you when I am away. I beg of you that when I am present, that I may not have to show boldness with such confidence as I count on, showing against some who suspect us of walking according to the flesh. Paul considered the proper exercise of gentleness in the body as spiritual warfare. You want to keep the enemy out of the church? Gentleness. Not gentlemanliness, gentleness. A proper amount of discipline. Too much and it's too far. There's a word for that. We call that word transgress. That's when you do the right thing, but you go too far. But on the other side, there is ineffectiveness. That's when you do things, but you haven't made an impact. The spirit, the soul wrapped around gentleness is effectiveness. It is the balance between power and sanctification, right? We're bringing you along, but we are using gentle force, gentle power to do it. It's the definition of discipline. One more. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here, Paul is encouraging the believers, again, to bear one another up. In fact, this is a really famous passage, famous book. So in chapter 1, he says this, right? My daughter was young. I had her memorize this. Wherefore, King James, that's how we memorized it. I put thee in remembrance of the gift of God that is in you by the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And then he hits us with this. Starting with verse 24. And the Lord's servant, so people who have the Spirit of God in them, the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponent with gentleness. Do you hear that? There is the correcting with gentleness. So if there is no correction, there is no need for gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. Gentleness. It is so fascinating to me. But again, it makes sense. I can't think of any healthy, functional body that doesn't have some form of discipline. And truly, truly, especially when you're talking about men, we crave it. Crave it. Right? Your favorite coach is the one who had you on the field and told you, you can go harder. You can do better, right? We love it. We don't like abuse, but that's something else. That's transgression. We also don't like ineffectiveness, but gentleness, man, that is medicine. Someone who disciplines me just enough to get me to where I need to be, who doesn't allow me to be captured by Satan, who doesn't allow me to fall in sin and stay there. Unfortunately, there are many places where that type of culture is not accepted, and maybe the churches have become one of those places. I was thinking about this yesterday. I was thinking about this. We live in a different time. So, at the time that Paul was doing these writings, there was no social media. It's no YouTube, no Instagram. There weren't even self-help books. I mean, there were books. They had libraries. But books were expensive and precious and rare. There was no printing press. So you only wrote down things that were legal or really important, right? So everything in the text that we have, they considered really important. So when you wanted to be better, how did you get better? The body of Christ. Your community made you better. If I did something wrong and somebody disciplined me, that was what would for us be equivalent to buying a self-help book or going to get therapy, except for it was built into the community. So for the early church, this idea of gentleness and church discipline made perfect sense. Now we have advances in technology. We have self-help books and YouTube. I can go to YouTube and learn how to do almost anything. And so I have the luxury of rejecting gentleness. You can come to me and it doesn't matter how nice or how effective you say it. If I don't like it, I can just tell you to get lost. I can read a book. I can tell you disagree with what my therapist said. But in the first century, the church was your therapist. Your neighbor was your self-help book. Your father, your uncle, your grandfather, they were your YouTube. And gentleness was the medicine of the day. So, if you have the Spirit, I am not here to tell you that you should have gentleness. The Spirit should have already put that in you. What I want to talk about is why you should allow the Spirit to let gentleness flow out of you. Why it's important. Okay. Let me say three things. First, if you're a note taker, write these down. Gentleness is wrestling with sin to preserve the person. Second, gentleness is the divine faith balance between, we talked about this earlier, power and sanctification. Right? You too heavy on one or too heavy on the other, you've lost gentleness. It's delicate. This is why I brought out the hammer and the nail. You can hit a nail too hard. You can hold it at the wrong angle. It's delicate. And gentleness as well. It's delicate. You can mess it up. Finally, churches that do not practice discipline do not have sustainable growth. Right? I know this as a gardener. When I don't prune my garden, it grows wild and not healthy. If I really want my rose bush to grow right, I've got to prune it. Not too much, but it's got to be cut. Otherwise, it doesn't grow well. So sustainable growth requires church discipline. And effective church discipline requires gentleness. Let me spend my remaining time talking about the examples that the Bible gives us on how to handle discipline with one another in a helpful way. Let me first quote Jesus, Luke chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. Here's what it says. Would it be better for he who sins, it would be better for he who sins if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea, than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. So then he says this, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day and turns to you seven times and says, I repent, you must forgive him. Church discipline is only effective when it is mixed with repentance and forgiveness. But there's one before that. Let's do Jesus again, Matthew chapter 18. Here's what he says. If your brother sins against you, let me warm up with verse 15 and 16. If your brother sins against you and you go and tell him his fault between you and him alone, if he listens to you, you have gained a brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. That means your offense can't just be my opinion. I need the counsel of the body to help me make sure that I'm in the right place. Because if I say, brother, you've done something offensive, and you go, no, I haven't, now we've got a difference of opinion. We need the body to bring objectivity to the conversation. Okay, but verse 17, after the witnesses have established that, yes, he's been offensive, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen, even to the church, let him be sent be to you as a Gentile and as a tax collector. Right? I think that one is so clear because I don't know anybody that likes the IRS. I don't care what party you vote for. Right? Doesn't that just drive home the point? None of us gets our tax bill and is like, woohoo! Paid $1,000. Yeah. Not one of us. Right? So it's the right, this same feeling that you have when you pay your bill. Treat him just like that. Okay. Two more. 1 Timothy chapter 5. We're back to Paul. I think this is so good and really important, especially in a postmodern America where respect falls way short often. Here's what the Bible says. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. It doesn't say that they don't require church discipline. What it says is if someone who is older than you requires discipline, they need even more gentleness. But there is still some force that needs to be applied, otherwise the body's not healthy. I would include pastors and leaders in this. And this is not just my opinion. I think this is why the body calls leaders elders. Peter wrote a letter and says, I write to you as a fellow elder, an apostle, calling himself an elder. And so, right, your pastors, your teachers, when you feel that they have messed up, in the same way that I appeal to my father, I have never said to my father, Dad, you are, what were you thinking? I would never imagine talking to my father like that. Now, there's a very good reason why. I grew up in the age where kids were still spanked. So I have memories. So I can't imagine saying that to my dad because I just write that flashbacks. But even if you don't have flashbacks, the text still says it is appropriate to address leaders, elders, and older people, even when they're wrong, the level of respect and deference. But it is not appropriate to see anyone in the body fall into sin and not say anything. That's not love. That's like watching my child ride her bike off the cliff and going, well, I didn't want to hurt her feelings. Well, I'm sure she's not very comfortable at the bottom of the ravine. Right? So if you prize feelings over effectiveness, you will struggle with this concept of gentleness. If you prize effectiveness over feelings, then gentleness is exactly the thing for you. Gentleness does not seek to destroy. It seeks to help by any means necessary. Right? One more. Jude. There's only one chapter, but chapter 1, verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Listen to all that. Listen to how much spiritual work has to happen before we can do proper discipline. Building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. But, verse 23, saving others by snatching them out of the fire to show others, to others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now, in those last two verses, there are three examples of proper discipline. 22, if someone has doubt, they are starting to question their faith, that's not the time for the hammer. That's the time for mercy. They have genuine struggles, and being harder on them doesn't answer their questions. When people have questions about God, they want answers. So this is why verse 20, why you have to build yourself up in your most holy faith and why you have to pray in the Spirit. You're asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, give me answers to this person's very legitimate and good questions. That's one. Verse 23, some people you snatch out of the fire. Right? You see somebody falling, you just grab them. But to others, this is the one that makes you a little bit more uncomfortable. You show mercy by allowing them to fear. Right? Now, when I was a kid, some would argue that there was maybe too much fire and brimstone. And maybe that was true, maybe it wasn't. I think Jude would make the case, everybody doesn't need fire and brimstone, but some people do. Right? That's Jude's case. So does every sermon at every church have to be fire and brimstone? No. But if you think that some people don't need fire and brimstone, you haven't been paying attention. Right? Gentleness. It's just the right force for this person. Not to do harm, but to do surgery. It's like child rearing, right? There was three boys in my house. As you might imagine, there was sometimes not a lot of gentleness. And then the Lord blessed me with two girls. Truly, it was a culture shock. I had no idea what I was getting into. My parents would yell at me, boy, get over here. And I would just come. Say to my girls, girls, get over here. You hurt my feelings. What? Hurt your feelings? You have those? Well, I didn't have those when I was, what? Right? But gentleness. I can't raise my girls like my parents raised me. It's too much for them. I'll crack the wood. I'll bend the nail. But with my guys in Bible study, slap them around all day. They thank me for it. Oh, Pastor, we just love you. Gentleness. I'm not asking you to be a gentle man. I'm asking you to be an effective man. Gentleness. I'm not saying be weak. I'm saying be just enough. Truly, finding balance is hard. I'll close with this. There's a workout we do in the gym. My coach will ask us to just grab the bar and just hang from the bar. Don't pull up. Right? Don't pull down. He said, it's not a pull-up. Just hang from the bar. Do you know how hard it is to hang from a bar for 30 seconds? It takes so much strength and skill to remain in one position for a long period of time. But I think that's why Paul keeps talking about bearing one another's burdens. I would not do you a service if I said, just slap them one time and then that's it. Some people need more than that. Some people need you to just keep talking to them over and over for a long period of time until they figure it out. Some people, one whisper, they got it, they're done. Some people, you got to pound on. That wasn't gentle, was it? Right? Some people you got to pound on. I think what the text calls us to is to get out of our head and into our body. Meaning, for me to be really effective at gentleness, I've got to know who you are. That means if my only interaction with you on Sunday is, hey, good to see you. Hey, good to see you. All right, I'm going home. Then gentleness and discipline between you and I is going to be really hard because I don't know what the right amount is. I think that's also why the church spent so much time together. They ate together. They drank together. They did everything together So when it was time for someone to be disciplined, they had the experience of knowing just how much and just how far so they could be just what God needed them to be. But if you are afraid of discipline, what you are really saying is you are afraid of growth. No team has ever gone to the Super Bowl that didn't practice. Not one. You don't luck into the Super Bowl. You don't luck into an NBA championship. You don't luck into a successful company. You can go viral, but to be successful requires discipline. And oftentimes, it requires other people to help me get out of my head so that I can see the bigger world. Discipline. My prayer for you this morning is that you will learn to love gentleness. It's in the writing that Pastor Brian wrote up for us, but he said, no one has ever prayed for more gentleness, but we should. Every time I go to the gym, I'm praying for more gentleness. Anytime you've been in surgery, you were praying for more gentleness. Every time you were trying to build a business, you were praying for more gentleness. Every time you have a difficult conversation with your husband or your wife, you are in desperate need of more gentleness. It is the least appreciated and most necessary element of all the spiritual gifts. And my prayer this morning is that you will get it in abundance. Let all the people say amen. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you for your great gentleness. That it is not what my neighbor does that is offensive to me, it is what my neighbor does that is offensive to you. Give us your eyes so that we can see what offends you. Your ears so that we can hear what offends you. Help us to be your hands and your feet so that we can touch what offends you. And then, Father, give us more gentleness so that we can more effectively bring health to the body of Christ. But Lord, I pray not only for the church, but I encourage each one of us to pray for ourselves. Help me to get out of my fear and discomfort for discipline because it is good. Help me to see a world bigger than my feelings and bigger than myself. Help me to see my world from a God's eye view. Give me maturity. In Jesus' name, amen.